There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have y'all along. 343-0106. 343-0106. And let's see. Okay. Yeah, so we'll get to that in a little bit. Sorry. Doing some calculations in my head as we speak. Stories this hour. A couple of them that I know that talked about this morning on Mobile Mornings, and Jeff had talked about them some as well. We'll talk about Boz and the big announcement yesterday. I mean, they're going full bore on this, right? On doing the boat rental, but also lawsuit or suing the head of DCNR, Chris Blankenship, getting sued, going after the individual who is Andy Ellsworth, who's been on the show with me. For crossing the boom, we'll get to that stuff in a little bit and get your take on it. We'll read this to you. And after all the complaining I've done, starting on Tuesday and on through, Erica Thomas over at 1819 News continues on this story. And this is what I want, because I'm not going to let it go either. So many times things will happen, it'll be a big story, and then we don't continue with that story, right? And then it happens in the future. And we're going to get into what they think might have happened. But what happened on Tuesday with people being put on, having to vote provisional because they were put on the inactive list. I mean, look no further than Dan Brennan here, but so many of y'all that texted in. And I said, I don't need somebody's head on a pike. What I need to know is what happened so it doesn't happen again, right? Anywhere y'all work. I mean, if there was something like this that happened, y'all would have a meeting on Monday, wouldn't you? I mean, maybe you work different places, but you would go, all right, everybody get in here. What was the problem? How did this happen? Now tell me how this is not going to happen again. So follow up on that. Remember, we were being told on Election Day and Wednesday it was about a glitch, a software glitch, and then there was the update that was made to the voting systems like at 9 something in the morning. So Erica Thomas' story says this, a headline, not a software glitch, probate judge unraveling Mobile's runoff election snafu. Said Mobile County probate judge Mark Irwin is looking into what happened Tuesday at the polls for the municipal runoff election. Dozens of people who voted in the August 26 municipal election returned for the runoff and were met with confusion after their voter IDs were scanned through the 10X electronic poll books. Their voter status was listed as inactive. And I see what Erica's done there when she says dozens of people before y'all flip out. If you're going to write something, you need to know factually that that's right. So obviously she has documentation of, you know, more than 24. Now, I know the number may be higher, but she's doing exactly the right thing. Talk about what you know as fact. Right. Those people were given provisional ballots, which we counted on this guy. They will count those on this coming Tuesday. It doesn't matter. Election's over. But Irwin said he was made aware of the issues early on Tuesday. And although the municipal elections are not under his purview, he still wanted to investigate what happened to ensure it wouldn't happen again. I support that 100%. So with the May 2026 primary election coming up, Irwin said he needs answers. He said, so I've been working over the last couple of days trying to investigate and make some determinations on what may have been the root cause of this issue. Irwin said he's very close to resolving the issues and feels confident he will get to the bottom of it, and hopefully I will have him on the show. I'm going to, if he's listening or somebody, or I'll send a text here. I'd like to get this on next week's show if possible. Irwin went on to say, we'll be giving results of that investigation just as soon as I feel I can answer the questions that I know the voters have, end quote. So this, I am glad this is happening. We're not letting this go without, right now, while it's fresh, let's address it. Right, I think that's a positive thing. Goes on in the story, says, while Irwin believes there were two separate issues that combined to create the chaos, he feels that there was more of a procedural issue than a technical glitch. He said the 10X, and it's spelled T-E-N-E-X. That's the like the brand of these electronic poll books. Said the 10X electronic poll books appeared to be working efficiently. The proper procedure for dealing with an inactive voter status is to provide the voter with a registration update form and offer them a regular ballot. That procedure was not followed. Now, we heard that, right? That the computer system would put them where they had to do provisional instead of being able to update their form. I'm still, in the case of my friend and coworker, Dan Brennan, his address didn't change. So that might have been the issue for some people, but his address did not change. He should not have had to update his registration form. Irwin went on in the story here from Erica Thomas, said, right now I'm confident that there was not a software glitch. There was a procedural configuration that had to be corrected, but it was not a glitch in the system. It was a procedural configuration that needed to be adjusted to be more in line with our procedures for federal, state, and county elections. I don't know what that means either. So we'll have to get him in here because that... I mean, I understand the words I read, but I don't. There was a procedural configuration that had to be corrected. Okay, so procedural. And to me, that'd be the procedure of how you ask the people for their stuff. But it was not a glitch in the system. It was a procedural configuration that needed to be adjusted to be more in line with our procedures for federal, state, and county elections. Now, that's a quote. Wouldn't we know that beforehand? Once again, I'm trying to. Why didn't we have a shorts and helmet practice to do that run through? If that's the thing and something's coming from Secretary of State's office or something like that, is it fair of we the people to say, did you have a rundown on that? Know that that was coming. Now, in the story, Erica goes on and says, however, Mobile City Clerk Lisa Lambert told 1819 News the poll books would not allow the poll workers to process the voter using a voter update form. Instead, it was forcing the issuance of a provisional ballot. That's the thing we heard. Still, Irwin said the issue with voters having inactive status is a separate issue. Were y'all confused before? How about now? He went on to say there is a voter database issue regarding inactive status, and then there's an election day precinct procedural issue on how to deal with someone who presents an inactive status, end quote. Irwin said he believes the issue was accidental and unintentional, which that's what I know a bunch of y'all on Tuesday were like, they're stealing the election. I don't think it's that. I don't think it has that. I think it's a question of the stuff not working. It doesn't care if you're Democrat or Republican. Why is it not working is my question. The Mobile County Board of Registrars is responsible for updating voting credentials and changing voter status. That office receives voter rolls from the Alabama Secretary of State's office. All these things, I hear these things. Like I said, and I am, these aren't rhetorical questions. These are real interrogatories. I really want to know. Why do we not do a rundown on that beforehand? Why don't we do a run through, right? I mean, I think in most of y'all's businesses, you got a big presentation coming up, or you're going to go to a job site, making sure everybody has what they need before you go, right? I just want to know what broke down. It's not like I'm wanting to pillory somebody, but you have to identify what happened before you can fix it, right? All right, coming back, we'll get your text on the text line at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday. Friday. Beautiful weekend ahead, says Dr. Bill Williams. I should put this out. And I don't mean this. This is not in the real way. This is not a real alert. I was going to say it's a silver alert, but I know that has another meaning. But this silver alert emanates from my friends at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry, and Anna's going to tell us more about this. Silver has been, I mean, we've talked about gold. It's a heck of a story, but silver has been a heck of a story itself.
Oh, yeah. It just hit like $46 and some change an ounce. I mean, it basically went up a dollar since we talked Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it's climbing, and right now we have a lot of different deals on, like, Silver Eagles, some of the world silver coins like the Britannias, Canadian Maples, silver rounds, 10-ounce bars. And just yesterday, Ron had given me a tray of these 2-ounce Queen Beast series that are collectible that we're just doing at normal silver pricing now. They're 2-ounce pieces, though.
Okay. This is good. And, I mean, y'all, talk about appreciation. I know the gold has been something, but you know, because on Ron's recommendation over the years, dollar cost average, like everything, have a conservative approach. But I was buying silver in the teens, you know? I mean, and I'm not, I mean, I'm old, but I'm not that old, you know?
Oh, that wasn't that long ago. Yeah. I remember when it wasn't that much. I mean, it was under $20 an ounce.
I mean, this is quite a run. And of course, come there for silver, come there for gold. And the flip side of it, too. Not only are we buying from you, you're buying from us. And on the silver side, you've talked about people have silver, you know, maybe it's in tableware, right? They could bring some money.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. If you've had stone silver flatware, or if you're not sure what it is, you just have some old forks and spoons from grandpa, grandma, or somebody in the family. Sometimes it's in the attic, and it's not really doing you much good. This would be a great time to come in and sell it, because depending on, you know, what the set is, it could be a couple $100 into thousands of dollars. If you've got scrap jewelry, we're happy to buy that as well. You know, coins, paper money, all of that, we do that on the daily.
All right. Y'all go see my friends, the people I deal with at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. She'll tell you where it is. Anna, where are y'all?
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. We're just a block west of Little Flower Catholic School and Church.
Good stuff. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good.
All right. See ya. There goes Anna and the silver alert. But I mean, not like the old people missing silver alert, which, oh, by the way, yesterday, did your phones blow up? Not literally. Not like you're a member of Hamas or not like that. Yeah, not like the Israelis blew your pager up. Different. I mean, did they go nuts with the 911 outage thing? Think about this. So whoever did it, and, you know, those of y'all that work on job sites and all that, you know, when somebody didn't call before they dig or they hit, you know, they hit something, that's a lot of trouble. How about when you hit something and it ends up being the connectivity for 911? Said Louisiana, Mississippi, even though we got, you know, I mean, I live close to Mississippi, but my phone is Alabama. I think so many people here, too, got the alert after alert that 911 wasn't working yesterday for some period of time. Then all of a sudden it was back. But yeah, it says service has been restored after Louisiana, Mississippi experienced widespread outages of 911 emergency calling systems for several hours as a result of damage to an AT&T fiber optic cable. So there you go. So if you've ever dug something up, if you were on a job and you messed something up, I don't know that you did it that badly. I don't know who did it. I'm sure there's somebody in Mississippi or Louisiana is probably looking for maybe a new job. I don't know. Or some continuing education or something like that. All right, to the text line here. Matt says, when I was reading what Mark Irwin said, which I couldn't really understand, Matt says, Sean, that's code for somebody smucked up. Yeah. So, but once again, just I don't want to say that you have to go like all out head on a pike for the person that messed up, because I don't want them to hide what happened. I just want to know what happened and how you don't let this happen again. I mean, it's 2025. We should be able to have these systems run and not have these problems. Jason says, Sean, in regards to the voting issues, it looks like we're already missing Don Davis already. This texter says, why didn't Dan show inactive when he voted a month before the general election? A month before in the general election, why was this an issue only in the runoff and not in the general? We had 32 provisional ballots out of 2,500 voters where this person was a poll watcher. Don't know. text her, and this is what I said when Dan first told me the story, right? When he walked in here on Tuesday, I said, it's not like it was a different kind. It's not like you went from where you voted for a state or a federal election. Then this was the same election split by 4 weeks. So it shows you as inactive. Once again, if we go back through Erica's story, and y'all can read that over at 1819news.com. I'll tell you what, I will click the buttons here to make it go over to at FM Talk 106.5 on X or Twitter. It's going up right now, so you can go there, just at FM Talk 106.5. Hopefully you're following us over there. You'll see that story. But in it remember, we were told initially it was a software glitch, right? And that's what I think still City Clerk Lisa Lambert says, it's a software glitch. But investigating this, the Mobile County Probate Judge Mark Irwin is saying that it was not a software glitch, but it was a procedural configuration that had to be corrected. I've got to figure out what that is, and hopefully we will in the next week or so. But I think this is one that you should demand that the postmortem's done on this, and we're at some point here, I don't know if it takes a week, takes 2 months, I don't know what it takes, that we're told that that won't ever happen again, or it's not going to happen again. Because we got, I don't know if y'all realize, 2026, you're like, oh, we're done voting. Well, that's municipal cycle, and 2026 is going to be big. Let's see. Let's go. Doesn't have meta said, if history holds true, the damage to the cable will most likely go back to the locators. I firmly believe they show up drunk and get paid by the spray can to mark lines. It's never even close. Now, I am going to take exception here. Doesn't have meta. I can't speak for all. But I know one locator for a utility, a very close friend of mine, and he is good at his job. Been doing it a long time. Has a kind of uncanny sense of how to do it right. You know, you've been doing it decades and decades and decades. He's an old dude. You get it right. But we'll see what happens here. But can you imagine, like, you bust a line is one thing. Water line, even, you know, power lines could be very dangerous, but you bust that, power goes out. If the thing you dug up, and it also, to me, shows a weakness in our system, the centralized, non-balkanized 911 system. But if you dig up one line in one place, it knocks out 911 in two states. If I'm looking at that, I might say, are we doing this the best way? Once again, this goes back to the discussion of the rural broadband, which I've been very, talked about it for years here in the state. And then the push, I know Senator Elliott's talked about it on the show, about the push for maybe those people that are the last ones or the furthest on the rural broadband initiative, maybe going Starlink for them. And I run Starlink. That's how I do everything where I live. But maybe an idea, too, that we kind of, and I'm using Starlink at this case, like people say Kleenex when they mean tissue. Maybe we Starlink up the communications for 911. So there's not one place where you could break a line that takes 911 off. Maybe there's some other way for duplication, or you could say redundancy, but balkanization. In other words, if this cylinder goes down in the engine, the other seven can run. It's something to that effect. All right. Also, when we come back, we'll talk about the Hegseth meeting here coming up. I know there's theories it's going to be of right-sizing the number of generals, and I just don't know that I'm crazy about announcing that all our top military brass is going to be, and I know it's a secure place, it's Quantico, Virginia, but all the top military brass is in the same place at the same time. Seems like the formula for a James Bond movie there. And also hot chicken. Hot chicken on my list today. This is a conversation we've had in other forums on the show, but SNAP cards going forward, if things change here, would be available for using to buy hot food. Remember, that's the thing with SNAP. You can't buy hot food. But what about rotisserie chicken? There's a bill pre-filed here to make SNAP cards able to buy the hot chicken. Rotisserie chicken. I don't know if that's a lemon pepper, which is really good, but we'll get to that story more when we come back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah. 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Good time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and new inventory to talk about. David?
Yeah, we got seven new vehicles hit the ground this morning. We've got two. We had one Titan pickup truck. Now we've got two crew cab Titans. Got two Altimas on the ground. One's silver color. I think it's a 2024. And then we've got a 2019 that's championship red with sunroof. Real pretty Altima. We got Jeep Patriot, a couple of Buick Encores. I mean, we got some really nice stuff came in this morning. So we've always had, we've got a good inventory already. So that's just adding to it.
Yeah, I mean, but also a reminder here, if you went out last week and saw the inventory, that doesn't mean you know what's happening right now. So it's, you know, you got to check back up in person or online.
Yeah, that's the same thing every time. I mean, it, just because you see what's on our website and what's on the lot, we go back to the same thing that me and you talk about a lot. That doesn't mean we can't get it or don't have it coming. I mean, we got two really nice Suburbans on the ground, newer body styles. It's got a couple of Tahoes, trucks, of course. Yeah, but if you don't see it and you're wondering what something would be, call us. We'll find out for you.
Okay. If somebody doesn't just drop in LCM Motor Cars into Google Maps, give them the old-fashioned directions how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or just go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Hey, thanks, David.
Have a good Friday.
You too. There he goes, Dave McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. All right, to the text line here, and then I got to get hot chicken. Hot chicken in the news here. Terry, let's see, says, which precincts had procedural error? I know two, right? The Dolphin Way and Museum of Art, I think. But that, I'm not saying I'm definitive on all of them. So, Terry, that's the ones I know. But hopefully we get Mark Irwin on the show, get the judge on the show, get other people. Once again, I think this will be a worthwhile mission for us to spend time on and figuring out what happened and how it doesn't happen again. I mean, that's, you know. All right. Now, this is Michael says he disagrees with the sheriff about civil versus criminal, 100% against federal criminal law to enter the U.S. without authorization. What he was saying, so I'm not an expert on either of these. It seems like some of y'all are. The sheriff was saying that the initial somebody being in the country illegally is civil. If they're told to leave and don't leave, it becomes criminal. And then several of y'all said, no, it's criminal from the time they come in. I got to figure that one out so I know what it is. All right. And Michael said, 20-plus years ago, I hit the main transmission lines going into Mississippi College with a 100-foot man lift. It shut down the entire campus, single-phase, a ton of AC units, and there were about 200 nurses in the middle of their NCLEX. I know it's an acronym, NCLEX, NCLEX, exam that lost everything. Yeah, the giant fireball it made was the least of my worries. So not only you put people out of power, the nurses that were taking their tests lost everything. Michael, did you have to go into the witness protection program and be hidden here? Anderson and Foley says maybe the announcement or the leak of the meeting in Quantico, Virginia is a ruse to rent out a mole. Rat out a mole. Maybe, I know, sometimes I think things like that, and I think, oh, there's all this cloak and dagger, and sometimes it's just, most of the time, that doesn't end up being that way. Yeah, I'm sure there's some other reason. I just, from the outside looking in, like, I want transparency in government, but not that much transparency. Doesn't it sound like, the bad guys figure out we're putting... How many? Hundreds. Let's see. So the latest on this from the AP, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth has summoned military's top officers, hundreds of generals and admirals to a base in Northern Virginia for a sudden meeting next week. according to three people familiar with the matter. So there's three leaks, although I thought Hegseth did a good job of getting rid of the leaks, right? So the directive did not offer a reason for the gathering on Tuesday, next Tuesday. No, this is earlier in the week. I think it's this coming Tuesday, of senior commanders of the one-star rank or higher and their top advisors at the Marine Corps base in Quantico. The people who described the move as unusual were not authorized to publicly discuss the sensitive plans and spoke Thursday on the condition of anonymity. In other words, leaking. But can we not do better than that? It says, across the military, there are 800 generals and admirals of all ranks. Many command thousands of service members and are stationed across the world in more than a dozen countries and time zones. Thank you for the time zone part, AP. Thank you for that. Really? Different time zones? President Trump didn't seem to know about the meeting when he was asked about it by reporters during an Oval Office appearance yesterday. He said, I'll be there if they want me, but why is this such a big deal? Now, he may be doing the right thing, right? So he's like, nothing to it. Vice President Vance argued the media had turned it into a big story, and it was not particularly unusual that generals who report to Hegseth are coming to speak with him. I don't know. And I like JD, but I mean, I think when you have everybody one star above in one place, I do think it's a big story. I might have to disagree with JD on that one. Hey, what's up, guy? There's nothing here. No big deal. All right. Let's see here. Eric in Mobile said, I showed up for a service call at the Tillman's Corner Lowe's. A mouse chewed through every single fiber optic cable on a switch, and they took down every register. But it is still better than you take down every register there. That's one thing. And like I said, I've talked to enough people in the trades that have said, hey, I had a bad day. I mean, you saw it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, we're trying to put it out of our memory. When we had big issues here on the station on a Saturday, I say big issues for us. I mean, it was about 30 minutes of a problem here before we could get things rerouted because we have backup power here. But they were leaving the construction site right next to us here, and a lift truck decided to go before they brought the lift down, and they took out the power lines right here at the service road and airport. That was bad. That was real bad. But there's that bad, and then there's, hey, by the way, you just brought down 911 in two states. Kenny says, my ex-wife was in that nursing program that got cut off, and I've had to listen to it for 20 years of how she failed the exam. All right, Kenny, I'm going to put you through to Michael. We're going to have like a chat page. Kenny, you need to get mad at Michael. This is crazy that Kenny, whose ex-wife was one of the nurses at that program or taking that test, that was lost their material because of Michael, listened to the same station. So I'm going to put you all together. Y'all can beef it out. How about that, Michael? Somebody that you did that to is listening. Well, their ex-wife was. All right. Doesn't have meta. Come on, man. What if it's a trap by the U.S. military to get the bad guys to show their hand? Hey, come on. Did I think about that for a tenth of a second? Sure, I did. Like halfway through the sip of a Coors Light. But then I said, it's not. Yeah, I want it to be like the James Bond movie, right? That it's like they think that we don't know, that they don't know, that we don't know, and then we'll get, yeah. Sean says, and now Sean has an opinion on this, Sean's military, so he can do it. Everyone is replaceable. Killing a bunch of generals would change nothing. The machine would just roll on. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to defer here. And I do, my friends that served, a lot of them have, I wouldn't say varied opinions. Somewhere between varied and singular opinion about the amount of generals and leadership in the U.S. military that is kind of top heavy, but that wouldn't disrupt things. I don't know. I mean, our idea is we hit foreign powers. I mean, look at what Israel did to Iran. And that was another, Mossad genius move to put out a fake text for all the top brass of Iran's military to be in one place at one time for some meeting. And then they were meeting a cruise missile is what they met. Let's see. Carl says, single phase is what a fella can tell a story about. Three phase would have welded him and the man lived together. Yes. Well, Carl, what I tell folks when they're at the transmitter with me, so I'll have to go out sometimes. Actually, I've got a guy out there right now. Hello at the transmitter if you're listening. So we go out there and there's where the power comes in, the power is you have to do a lot to the electricity to come into a transmitter and all that, but we got three phase. So it takes to run a 50,000 watt radio station, three phase. And you ask Dalton or anybody who's been out there with me when I have the tops off and stuff, they said, man, that right there, that would hurt. I said, it wouldn't hurt at all. I mean, it hurt me picking up, you know, dragging the overdone Boston butt of your body out of this thing, but it wouldn't hurt you at all. Yeah, three phase is a different thing. It's like I've had to work around it over the years, Carl, and you're just not there, aren't you? You were there, and then you're not. Don says, good afternoon, Sean. Just a reminder, anytime you dig with anything mechanical, you have to call and locate. But I think that's what they're saying is that they, I mean, theory right now that has no backup is maybe it was not marked correctly, but says anytime you dig with anything mechanical, you have to call and locate. If you hit something that's marked, you are financially liable. One of my crews when I was working as a subcontractor for Georgia Power in Atlanta, we're clearing the right-of-way for a new distribution line to the control tower at the new airport runway using a tub grinder, and one of the limbs dislodged when airborne, cross-phased the main three-phase power line feeding the main control tower. Wow. The next was history, including being all over the news. Unfortunately for them, they were subcontractors, and I was not held responsible. But boy, they remember, folks. If you dig, call any utility, call 811, or it could ruin your life or kill you. That is true. T-Bone says, wouldn't you think that they would have had a backup plan, like call 912 instead, and relying on one number seems risky? I'm with you, T-Bone. That's what I'm saying. It's like, or even having another way that 911 works. I mean, if one line, isn't that kind of worrisome? That cutting one line knocks down the 911 service in two states? Wouldn't you have like separate nodes? Like where one could come down and the other one wouldn't? You know, it's like the power grid thing. And I know we got this, you know, way intricate power system. And I saw some of this in Puerto Rico when I was down there. I remember they had done some of it, and I saw some of it. I was down there at the beginning of August in Puerto Rico. And they have, in certain areas, I didn't see it everywhere, but in certain areas, made the power grid smaller and not it doesn't have to be connected. And I don't know how they did all this stuff. You know, you could do it, obviously, if you go off-grid with solar and all that. But it was a system down there, because they get hit by the hurricanes, where if the power line gets knocked down, and maybe somebody who's pro in this can tell me what the system's called, but like the power line gets knocked down 2 miles from you, you still have the grid work where you are. It's not, maybe it's not linear, maybe that's the right term for it, where it's, you know, you can lose power over here. Like how many times, like you've lost power and it's a couple blocks away or half mile away from where you are is what actually happened, but you're down that line, right? Well, same thing for 911. You would hope if one place gets cut, then the other places could fill in on it. All right, we've got to get back. I got to get the hot chicken story before you get in the weekend here. Should people be able to buy hot food with their SNAP cards? Well, rotisserie chicken is what they're pushing for. We'll talk about that when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Look at all that sunshine starting to break through outside. Can't wait for this weekend. Dr. Bill's got a very nice forecast, but hot for Sunday. But listen, not bad. Other than that, getting the 60s at night, the air conditioner actually cuts off for a second, which is nice. All right, the hot chicken story. This will be the hot story next week, but you're hearing it now. From Mike Kaysen over at AL.com, said a Republican lawmaker from Baldwin County has proposed revising the rules for the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program to allow for the purchase of hot rotisserie chickens with SNAP cards. She's been on the show a good bit, or been on the station with Jeff. Donna Givens of Loxley said she got the idea from Christina Warner McInnes, Republican candidate for State Commissioner of Ag and Industry, who's been a guest on this show before. Givens said she was surprised to learn that hot, ready-to-eat rotisserie chickens available in many grocery stores are not eligible to purchase with SNAP benefits, previously called food stamps. Rotisserie chickens must be cold and have a nutrition label on them to be eligible for purchase under SNAP, according to Catherine Shoup, communications director for the Alabama Department of Human Resources, which runs the state SNAP program. Givens' bill would require DHR to request a waiver from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Food, and Nutritional Services to add hot rotisserie chickens to the definition of eligible food for the purposes of SNAP benefits. So there you go. Now, what, and it goes here, the stats, and says Givens' bill would require DHR to do this. She said, Givens said she remembers picking up rotisserie chickens for family meals as a working mother. It's certainly a healthy option for children as well as entire families, especially if you get that lemon pepper. That's the lemon pepper is a jam. She says, we have a lot of families that feed their children, feed their families from the SNAP program. Okay. SNAP served a monthly average of 376,000 households or 752,000 people in Alabama last year. So let's look at that as a percentage. We have, what, we 4.8 or something like that in Alabama? 4.8 million, I think, right around there. So we look at 18%. I don't know. You math magicians out there, let me know. But 18, 20% of Alabama, people in Alabama. So 752,000 people, 4.8. Yeah, so about 20% of Alabamians eaten from SNAP. Givens says making rotisserie chickens an eligible SNAP purchase would help Alabama poultry growers or poultry producers and build on the Sweet Grown Alabama program championed by several organizations and Agricultural Commissioner Rick Pate. Givens has given her bill in advance of legislative session, which starts January 13th. All right, so I just got to ask, I mean, a couple questions here. So this has been the discussion about SNAP benefits, right? And there's been some movement here on tightening, right, with the new administration to tighten what would be available here. I mean, there's push here to keep people from being able to get, like, sugar drinks, like Cokes and stuff, energy drinks, candy, desserts and stuff with the SNAP. You can buy a lobster. I mean, here's the thing. On SNAP, on EBT, SNAP, you can buy a lobster. You just can't get it cooked. So it's not, it's interesting. It's not, I guess, the amount of money, but you know, like you could get, and you roll in with EBT, I guess, get a lobster, but it has to be cold, or get, I guess it could be frozen or whatever, but you can't get it hot. It's been the rule, like hot foods. That's why you'll see certain things like the pre-cooked things at the grocery store. This is, once again, government makes these laws, then the market reacts to them, right? So they take items that would be pre-cooked like that and make them, put them in the cold refrigerated section instead of having them hot. It's the same damn chicken. But because of EBT, you can't. So what do you think? I think we'll be talking about this going forward. It'll be hot chicken, hot discussion out there. So, I don't know. Good point. Supermom says, wouldn't we rather a person buy a rotisserie chicken than a frozen pizza or something that seems healthier? What's not eaten can be used in a wrap or a salad. That's kind of what I do with them. But then somebody could turn around and say, well, if the taxpayers are funding their food out, like, can they just take that rotisserie chicken home and warm it up? I mean, it seems silly, the idea of you can buy the thing, they can cook the rotisserie chicken and have it refrigerated, and you can buy it with SNAP EBT, but if it's hot, you can't. So, I don't know. B-Dark, so now not only they get it free from taxpayers, now they get it free cooked. Ben said, you ever hit a gas main? Those are fun times. No, but I've been on a place where a gas main was hit. It was, I remember getting out of there pretty fast too. And then Terry 3 says, yes, Sean, yes, telecom providers do sell protection for services using duplicate diverse routing of cables, but the distances involved in these states are so big, they would be cost prohibitive for the 911 authorities to buy it, is my guess. Great audience. Always learn stuff. So why they don't, you know, maybe you have, you know, you like we use in this duplicative systems, right, between fiber and microwave. And I don't mean like where you cook your food, but a microwave radio signal. Couldn't we have it where, like, okay, you have the main lines for 911. It's these fiber stuff that got cut. But then the second that that fails, you go to a satellite bounce system or something like that. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, somebody today All right, maybe they're still at work, but they go home this weekend and be like, yeah, it was a bad week. What'd you do? Well, I knocked 911 off in two states. Here, have a beer. Paul Feinbaum's on the way next. See y'all tomorrow morning for FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors with Mike Ward.